In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
This fourth Sunday of Lent brings us the celebration of St. John of the Ladder. Now, he's called of the Ladder because of a very valuable book that he wrote called The Ladder of Divine Ascent. It was written specifically to monks, but has so much that is beneficial, that is valuable, that is edifying to Christians living in the world as well. This book is divided into 30 chapters, which John calls steps. Steps as in rungs on a ladder, which are ways we ascend to the Lord Jesus Christ, ascend to God in Trinity. And throughout this book, the first few steps are detaching from the world, leaving the things that anchor us to sin behind. Some of the steps along the way are warnings and encouragements on overcoming sins and temptations, such as lying, slander, cowardice. But there are also steps extolling virtues, stillness and peace, sexual purity, humility, things like that. And many of these things are paired together so that a virtue of God can help us overcome a temptation of the flesh and the spirit to either keep us on the path or to help us get back on whence we fall. But I also want to draw our attention today to the traditional icon of the ladder, a divine ascent. It's a very helpful teacher. I have one here. There's one in the center of the church, and you all have one. If you got a bulletin printed on the front of your bulletin, feel free to look at it. It's a ladder with people climbing from earth to heaven. Jesus Christ is in the top corner welcoming people into the kingdom of heaven. We have angels rooting us on, also guarding, encouraging, protecting us on our journey. Then we have this kind of scary part. There are demonic figures pulling some of the people off the ladder by a rope around their neck. Although in one case down here, it's around his hands like handcuffs. Now, as frightening as this image is, it's important for us to understand that you can't be pulled off the ladder against your will. Those demon figures, our passions, their temptations, their sins. And those things are sure to come. They're sure to come our way and call us. But the rope is your choice. The rope is your choice. You choose whether or not to put it on around your own neck by the decisions you make and by the choices you make in response to those temptations. So today, let's just take one of John's steps as an example and look at that. I chose for us step 8, which is, in his book, anger. Anger is a passion, a temptation that tries to lure just about everyone and does so frequently. In your icon, you can imagine one of these figures represents anger. It is guaranteed to come to you and to offer you its rope. Shouldn't you be mad at that person? Did you hear what they just said? Do you remember what they did? Here, take this rope and put it around your neck. But whether this anger pulls you off the ladder is up to you, up to whether or not you put anger's rope around your neck. Now, first off, there is righteous anger, anger that is actually good and actually comes from God, and is a power for good in the world. We heard an example of righteous anger in the gospel we were blessed to hear today. Jesus encounters a man in the synagogue with a withered hand, and he has compassion on him. But some of the people there were more concerned about whether Jesus would break their religious rules by healing on the Sabbath. And so it says in our gospel, it says, "So when Jesus had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other." What makes Jesus' anger righteous? Well, three things. First of all, the anger was at the sin itself. In this case, Jesus was angry at the use of God's name, at the use of his religion, to put religious rules above compassion, to put them above love, to put them above healing, using God's name to be unloving and uncaring and legalistic and judgmental. I mean, it's one thing to be unloving and uncaring and legalistic and judgmental. It's another thing altogether to do that in the name of God. And so Jesus gets angry. He gets angry at that. But the anger is at the sin itself, which leads to the second part of righteous anger. Righteous anger feels grief for the person, feels grief for the sinner themselves. It says Jesus looked at them with anger, being grieved at their hardness of heart. He was sad for them. If you don't feel sadness on behalf of the person with whom you are angry, I guarantee it's not righteous anger. And the third thing is action, positive action. Jesus acts. He doesn't stew. He doesn't plot. He doesn't think up a good zinger comeback to be strong on them next time. He heals. The anger does not lead to retaliation or vengeance. Righteous anger leads to healing action. Now, having said all that, let's be honest. Most of the anger that we put around our necks has less to do with righteousness and a lot more to do with, I don't get my way. So now how do you get past that anger? How do we stop from putting that rope around our necks? St. John of the Ladder provides a three-step process. He says the first step is silence of the lips. The second step is silence of the thoughts. And the third step, which most won't get to, but it's worth reaching for, the third step is an inner unbreakable calm where it doesn't bother you in the first place. Have you ever walked an untrained dog, especially a big one? They're practically walking you, right? All you can do is barely hang on to the leash, hope they don't run away, hope they don't leap on somebody else. But with time and training, eventually, most dogs can learn the leash and then rarely, if ever, pull with time and training. And finally, I've seen some dogs on TV that are so well-trained they don't need the leash at all. I saw this German Shepherd once trained for guard duty. It was so well-trained that if someone other than the master held a stake right in front of its nose, it wouldn't even flinch. Its eyes would go up like this. And that's it. Its nostrils didn't even flare. It was so well-trained, it didn't even move. Training anger is like that. At first, just keep the dog from running away. In other words, keep our lips closed or our keyboards. You know, if we're angry, just stop for a minute. When angry, don't say or do anything stupid or hurtful. That's just the first baby step, but it's huge. But with persistence, with prayer, with training, the dog of anger will get better. Soon you'll begin to get rid of even the thoughts when they come. We'll be able to push those thoughts aside. And I think many of us spend a good chunk of our life in this step. We get good at keeping quiet, maybe a little bit, but we really wrestle with keeping the thoughts away as they come. The great saints of the church are like that well-trained dog with the stakes. They give anger barely a glance and let it go, and the anger just doesn't disturb their calm. But brothers and sisters, the worst thing we can do with anger is to just give up. When we say things like, I can't help my anger, I'm Italian, right? I can't help my anger, I'm 51 years old. I can't help my anger, I'm a priest. I can't help my anger, you don't know my family. I can't help my anger, you can fill in the blank, we've all done it. At the best, it means I've given up. At the best, it means I've given up. At the worst, it means I've become proud of it. And I'm putting the rope of anger around my neck on purpose because I've learned to identify myself with that anger. St. John of the Ladder tells us that unleashed anger can do more damage in a single moment than a bunch of other passions can destroy after a whole day's work. But in the end, those demons of temptation on this icon, whether it's the anger one or any of the others, they're sure to come as we climb that ladder toward God and as we get back on the ladder after falling. But an important thing to remember is you cannot be pulled off against your will. You cannot be pulled off that ladder against your will. The temptations will come, but the rope is your choice. Amen.